Good morning, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. As we begin, a couple of brief announcements. First of all, welcome to those who are joining us this morning as we celebrate Easter and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And a special welcome to Lloyd King, who is back with us again to play trumpet and accompany Minna, and a great gratitude to Minna for her musical contributions both this morning and during this very busy season that we have just come through. There are dates in your bulletin, so please do consult your bulletin to see what's going on this week in the life of the congregation. The contramands probably already know this, but just in case anybody's a little spooked by the announcement, we're not meeting tonight. Tonight is lamb and or whatever you're having for your Easter meal and an opportunity to gather with family. But confirmation class will resume next week. And just a quick reminder to the session that the session will meet on Tuesday, with Monday being a holiday. That event will roll up on us very quickly as well. Please check the bulletin board downstairs in the lower hallway for lots of information on events that are happening in our own congregation as well as in the broader community. At this point, as probably is the case every year, there's information about this year's camping season at Gracefield, our Synod camp. So please do look at that for opportunities both for employment for older young people and camping opportunities for younger young people and families and everybody else. And there's also, I would draw to your attention, a lovely note from Clarice Neal on the board, so please do make note of that as well. The McGaughy Organ Concert. Yes, we are really back to real life again. The McGaughy is coming up. It will take place on Friday, May the 5th at 7 o'clock in the evening. And this year's featured artist is Mr. Samuel Lee, who is a doctoral candidate in organ studies at McGill University. So please plan to be here and enjoy the music that Samuel has to offer. The admission, as always, for the McGaughy concert is free, so you can plan to attend. And this week marks the 60th birthday of Ken Evans. And so, happy birthday, Ken. You're just a little bit older than me. Just a little bit. I didn't know we were that close. So I think I'm coming up on that one this year, too. But I stopped counting a couple years ago. So COVID, I lost track. And finally, one special announcement for next week's worship service. Next Sunday, we are pleased to welcome Bruce Russell to St. John's. And Bruce will be playing the organ for us next week. So please make note of that and plan to attend. As we come into the presence of the Lord each week, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that in him there is no darkness. As we enter in worship this morning, let us stand as we say together the call to worship. This is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. This is the good news. The grave is empty. Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
This is the good news. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never put it out.
Hallelujah.
This is the good news. Once we were no people, but now we are God's people.
Hallelujah.
Christ is our peace. The indestructible peace we now share with each other. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let us pray. Almighty God, By the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you broke the power of death and opened the way to eternal life. As the empty tomb stands witness to his triumph over death, make your church to be a bold testimony to his enduring victory in life, that all we do may proclaim to the world, he is risen indeed. We pray all these things through Christ who lives with you and the Holy Spirit, one God now and forevermore. Amen. And we begin our praise this morning with the hymn 255, Now Let the Vault of Heaven Resound, number 255, or as the words appear before you on the screen. Please be seated. Friends, God has opened to us the gates of righteousness that we may enter through them. Confident in God's love, let us confess our sin as we say together the prayer as it appears before you on the screens. Lord, You are our strength and our might. You have become our salvation. Alleluia. We praise you, living God. We who were dead have been raised with Christ, and we seek the things that are above, where Christ is. We do so imperfectly, Lord, bearing wounds of our own, hindered by doubt and fear, unsure where to look for you, still tempted by sin. The prophets testify that everyone who believes in you receives forgiveness of sin through your name. This day, we rejoice in the pardon and the hope you give to us. Dry our tears, O God. Speak to us a word that reveals your presence. Open to us the gates of righteousness, that we may enter through them, giving thanks and praise to you. Amen. Friends, hear the good news. God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead and has not given us over to death, but opens to us the gate to everlasting life. The good news is that in the name of Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Once more, let us join our voices in praise to the hymn, I Danced in the Morning When the World Was Begun, hymn 250, or as it appears before you on the screen. And during the last verse, we'll have any young people who are here come to the front. It's well worth your while to come to the front today.
I danced in the morning when the world began, and I danced in the moon and the stars and the sun.
Is that everyone who wants to come up? Like I said, it's worth your while. Just saying. I'm going to tell a story first. Not of this story. The first time I met Ellen Dempsey Lloyd was probably singing that song, The Lord of the Dance, and neither of us spoke to each other when we did it. So we didn't really meet, but we would have been co-located in the same church building back when I was maybe close to Hannah's age, about a little bit younger than Hannah, actually, 12 or so. One of the radio stations in Charlottetown did a big Easter choral festival, and they got all the junior choirs from around the Charlottetown area. So I'm sure Ellen must have been in the Park Royal Choir. And I was in the St. Mark's Choir, so. And for all the rest of you who don't know a thing about what I'm talking about, the odd thing about the world in which we live is you can find out that you know people who know people in the weirdest possible ways. And Lloyd and I share that sort of connection because Lloyd, of course, was recommended by Steve when Steve could no longer play the trumpet for us. And so we welcomed Lloyd. And as part of getting to know Lloyd, Lloyd said, "Oh, well, I just moved back from Prince Edward Island." And I went, "Well, who do you know?" Or in Prince Edward Island, there's who's your father, although Lloyd's not from PEI, so I wouldn't know his father. But we do have a very dear friend in common, and Ellen is her name. And so when he was here the first time, we took a picture together to post to Facebook so that Ellen on one of our pages would see this picture of the fact that somehow or other we had found each other. So that's part of the whole welcome story of having Lloyd here. But good morning, young people. How are you all this morning? Got a question for you. Have you done anything special yet this morning for Easter? Oh, okay. And so did you, like, find chocolate and stuff?
Yes.
It was very tempting in my house this morning. Because on Sundays, I'm the first person up in our house. And when I went into the bathroom, there were Easter eggs everywhere. And I thought, you know, I could collect all of these. But I didn't take any of them. I was a good boy today. But yeah, there's special things that we do, right, for Easter. We do an Easter egg hunt. Now, was your Easter egg hunt at your dad's, was it inside or outside?
Outside.
Outside, cool. It's a very good one. And have you done an Easter egg hunt with your mom yet? Well, that's coming later, is it? Good, good. And I'm sure that'll be fun. The story this morning that we listen to in Scripture is a story about the first Easter. And on the first Easter, a woman named Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb. And she goes to the tomb where Jesus was buried because she treasured Jesus and the relationship that they had, that he was her treasure. Now, I'm going to invite you now because I got ahead of myself. Because we've got some good stuff up here. We've got some good chocolate hidden up here. The guys at the back who control the cameras have found them all already. So if the kids get stuck, I suppose Alex can help them out. But don't, Alex. We're going to let the young people find a treat for yourself, and then you can come back once you've found one and sit down, and we'll continue with the story. Now, everything is that way. Have you found one, do you think? Well, you're going to have a quick hunt. Go. Oh, you found one already. I know. You've got to run faster, Hannah. Oh. Everybody got one. Cool. Is there one left for me somewhere? Oh. Or somebody else, maybe. Well, that's excellent. Now, as we were saying, right, Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb on the first morning because she's seeking someone who she treasured. She's seeking the Jesus who she thought was going to be in the tomb. But when she got there, well, she was a little surprised, disappointed. She wasn't quite sure what, because she couldn't find him. But the amazing thing about the story that we're going to hear this morning, the story that draws us all together in church every week, actually, because we are Easter people as Christians, is the fact that while Mary had gone seeking Jesus, the risen Jesus goes seeking Mary. And Jesus treasures her and their relationship as well. And so there's this great celebration that's part of Easter as we celebrate the love of God made known to us in Jesus, the Jesus who comes and finds us and, as the story will tell us, calls us each by name. Now, part of the little hunt that we just did was to search for our treasure. Chocolate's pretty good treasure, I must admit. I have a weakness in my heart for it. Or my weakness is probably around here at this point. But either way, it's good chocolate. However, on your gift of chocolate is also something else. It's some hints as to how we can find treasure. Right? Saw that note? How can we find treasure? And the treasure in particular is how can we find Jesus, who is our treasure? And it says what? It says worship. Right? Come to worship. It's a good way to get to know, Jesus and to know about Jesus. I think, what else we got there, Max? Go to church. Be thankful. We can all be thankful today for chocolate. Yeah. What do you have?
Read the Bible and stories about Jesus.
Read the Bible and stories about Jesus. That's right. Elia? And be kind to everyone. And have I covered them all, or do I have one more? What's the one more?
Pray.
Pray. Good. All ways that we get to learn and celebrate and to grow in Jesus and to celebrate his that he is important to us and show that importance to the world. So let us have a brief moment of prayer, and then older ones can go back and sit with Grandma, and I think Laura's taking younger ones downstairs. Laura, Trish, somebody. They're going to disappear, that much I know. Magic. Let's have a prayer. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you that you have given us treasure that dwells in our hearts. We thank you for the gift of Jesus. And we thank you that Jesus treasures us. Help us to grow in faith, in wisdom, and in thankfulness this day and every day. Amen. Thank you very much, everyone. Enjoy your chocolate later. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, by the power of your Spirit, roll away the stone from our hearts and reveal to us the word of life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We have three scripture readings this morning. The first one is taken from the New Testament, Acts chapter 10, verses 34 to 43. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, But in every people, anyone who fears him and practices righteousness is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witness to all that he did both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Our second reading is responsive. It's Psalm 118, verses 1 to 2, and then 14 to 24. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever.
Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever.
The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation.
There are glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly.
The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly.
I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord.
The Lord has punished me severely, but he did not give me over to death.
Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it.
I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation.
The stones that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Third reading is from the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. Now I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaimed and so you believed. Let's join in singing the hymn number 248, At the Dawning of Salvation.
Thank you.
And our gospel reading for this morning is taken from John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. Let us listen for God's word to his people. Early in the morning, on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scriptures, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been laying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" And supposing that he was the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I guess it was about 10 days ago now that I walked into the sanctuary on a really dark and rainy morning outside. I'd come to speak to Minna about some detail of one of the services that you have participated in over the last several days. And as I was stepping down the steps, I said that I really hoped that the weather for Good Friday would be as dark and as bleak as it was on that day that I walked into the sanctuary. Now, I said that because we all know that atmosphere is important. And some of us are especially sensitive to the weight of a day like that. A day when the clouds close in and they seem to press down upon you. Regardless of what the weather might happen to be on any given Good Friday, there is to some extent a gloom that always hangs in the air on Good Friday, as we remember the cross and Christ's great sacrifice for us. Good Friday is the dark night of the soul. For we recognize on Good Friday all of the powers of this world that would seek to kill God incarnate and put an end to all God's plans and all God's purposes. It is the dark night of the soul. For we know that in these intervening hours between when we left on Good Friday and when we gathered here this morning, that Jesus has descended to hell and there he does battle with sin and death. And surely for Mary, who we read of this morning, as she went to the garden on that first day following the Sabbath, it was dark. Not just the darkness of morning before the sun had begun to shine, but the darkness of her soul as she remembered all of the cruelty and all of the injustice that she had witnessed just 2 days prior, and that she grieved for the life of her friend. How long did Mary wander in the darkness of that first Easter morning? How many times do you think Mary walked past the mouth of the tomb now open, looking for the place where Jesus had been laid, looking for a tomb that had been sealed tight by a stone? For surely that would have been what she was looking for, isn't it? The tomb sealed shut. Put yourself in Mary's place. Wouldn't you have walked past the open tomb in search of the one that had been occupied by death? Why would Mary even think to look for life in the kingdom of death? Unable to find the tomb where Jesus was laid, the one that was shut up, Mary runs from the garden and finds Peter and the beloved disciple. And she says to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have put him." Which sends the two disciples racing. The other disciple, he arrives at the tomb first, but draws up short before entering the tomb. But Peter comes careening down the path, past his companion, and like some great sprinter in the Olympics, runs through the finish line and ends up on the other side first. Peter breaks the line that marks the boundary between life and death, between the world as it is, and the world that has now become a reality, redefined by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Peter has won the race of faith and has come face to face with the new reality that the tomb is empty and Jesus is not there. All that the disciples find are the grave claws which 2 days earlier had bound Jesus in death. But Christ has escaped the bonds of death and burst forth from the tomb. Christ's new day has dawned. Only after all of this has happened and the disciples have left, is Mary once more alone at the tomb, where the angels then greet her with the words, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And then Jesus appears to Mary and calls her by name. And in that moment, the darkness is lifted from Mary's life, and Christ's new day dawns. Like Mary, we come this morning emerging from the darkness of this world and longing for the light of a new day. We know too well the darkness of betrayal and inhumanity. and we long for a God who will overthrow the power structures of this world and reorient our lives and the lives of others that we might experience God's kingdom of justice and peace. We know all too well the darkness of abandonment and loneliness. We know too well the stubbornness and the pride that tear at the fiber of families and friends. We know how easy it is to hurt one another with a thoughtless action or a careless word. And we know how hard it is to say that we are wrong or to rebuild that shattered relationship. And yet we know that God has created us to form community with one another and to live in unity. We know that Jesus knows our name and calls us each by personal address. And we know too well the darkness of death, the mark of our mortality. For some, death is an overwhelming reality, something that they just can never recuperate from. For others, it is but a mere passing point to the kingdom of God. And yet, however we experience, however we respond to death, it is an abiding sadness as we remember those whom we love and those whom we have lost. But in the midst of our sorrow, Jesus walks by and again calls us by name. And we are reminded that we believe in the God who gives life and who delights in us. As Jesus cheered Mary's heart with his greeting that the risen Christ comes to give us hope. As we gather this Easter morning, we come bearing witness that the seed of hope that was sown on Good Friday breaks forth into flower on Easter morning. So let us rejoice in the knowledge that despite the trials and the temptations of this life, we have a God who watches over us and who loves us and who gives us life. Our Christian hope remains that even in the darkness, the day still dawns. Thanks be to God. Amen. With compassion for our needs, the risen one stands beside us calling our name. Let us then with that same mercy bring forth our tithes and offerings to relieve the suffering of this world and to proclaim far and wide the good news of the resurrection. Let us now present our tithes and offerings to God. holy God, you shower us with gifts so abundant we cannot measure them all. You give us life itself and the power to befriend our companions in this world. Bless the gifts that we bring now for the sake of those who are in need. In the name of you, Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier, one God, now and forevermore, we offer our praise. Amen. Please be seated. Let us now continue in prayer. Let us pray. All honor, praise, and glory are due your holy name, most gracious God, for you are the God who causes the breath to fill our lungs, our eyes to see, and our lips to proclaim your merciful name to all the nations. You awaken us with this day, with the dawn of a new age, with the sun rising on friend and foe alike, and with the truth of Christ's redeeming resurrection ablaze across the heavens. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed, to bring fullness of life to all your people. We give you thanks that in Christ Jesus you revealed to us your word. As prophets listened to your voice, make us likewise attentive to the word that became flesh, and thereby empowered to speak the truth of your love. We give you thanks that in Christ Jesus you have opened the way for all to approach you in prayer. As he offered himself as a sacrifice that is pleasing in your sight, we yearn for the day when all that we do will be in praise of your name. We confess Christ as the cornerstone of the church. As we seek to respond to his call, may our conviction breed courage and our charity challenge others to approach you with hope. We give you thanks that even now in Christ Jesus we taste the new wine of the gospel. Already the past is finished and gone. We gather this day as the community of witnesses to the meaning of Jesus for all humanity. Fill us with the spirit of the resurrection as we seek to become your redemptive society. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught his disciples to pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For the closing hymn, just a note of thanks to those who gave so that we could have lilies at the front of the church this morning. And we give thanks for all of those in whose memory they have been given. If you are one of those who designated a lily, if you wish to take it home with you, you are free to come up and retrieve one at the close of worship. There are no names on them, so the first one here gets the best one. And those that aren't picked up here, some will remain in the sanctuary to continue to beautify the sanctuary for the next couple of weeks as we move through the Easter season, and some will be delivered to some of our shut-ins and those who are in long-term care facilities here in town. So whether you retrieve yours or leave it so that it can be given to another, they will be well enjoyed wherever they go. Let us join our voices in praise to the hymn, Thine Be the Glory, hymn number 258 in the Book of Praise. And now, go from here renewed and strong, knowing that the Lord is alive, almighty, and present. Look for the blessings that await you this week. Weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Tell the story of hope to all who will hear. And now, may the truth of the empty tomb, the astonishing reality of Jesus' resurrection, keep you fearless and sure that you will see the resurrected one again and again in this life. And may the power of God's endless love surround you and guide you this day and forevermore. Amen.